Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
All right, folks, welcome back to Speed Talk. Got Steve Minnick Sr.
Hey, I got it right. How about that?
Kenny Barr, Tom Wolf, Tiny Behind the Boards, Cliff Tanner coming at you. And again, RadioSpeedTalk.com. Check us on there. And our contest, take your driver. It has to be somebody we know. You can't take somebody from Podunk, Kentucky and you know, try to put it together because we don't know them.
Yeah, we've got to recognize the song and the driver, you know, and the example we keep throwing out there is A.J. Allmendinger, and you put him together with Huey Lewis's I Want a New Drug.
That's what we're looking for, though. Two winners, a $50 gas card. Again, that's run until November 20th of this year, and we're going to pick the winners. We're getting some good ones, so be funny, be creative. Let's have a good time with it, and send it again to Cliff at RadioSpeedTalk.com or Kenny at RadioSpeedTalk.com. Again, you can go to Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk2, and Kenny's at Twitter.
Yep. KennyBar52.
Yep. Wow. Nice segue there, buddy.
Hey, and I go live next Radio Tuesday.
Yeah, there we go. But, man, you know.
It's time for Speed Talk. With host Cliff Tanner.
You have a beautiful speaking voice.
I'm special and you're not.
From AMA to IRL and NHRA.
Sorry, gentlemen, I'm not a fan of that.
Even NASCAR.
Ooh, I'm ready for NASCAR.
In-person interviews and giveaways.
Incredible talent, incredible variety, like never seen on any other show before.
Along with the ride, as always, is Kenny Barr. You can always visit the gang at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Welcome back to Speed Talk, the first one of 2013. Guess what? We survived the apocalypse. What, three times this year, I think? Because you had the pastor who passed away, so to speak. The world was going to end, was it June? And then
That's right, that dude in Utah. Yeah. I forgot about him.
He said, no, I was off by a couple of months. Well, that went by, the Mayans went by, and Oreo Cookie still survives. Because if you look at the Mayan calendar and Oreo Cookie, they both kind of look alike. But, hey, we're back. A lot of cool things coming up. I'm sorry, man.
Where did you get that?
Have you ever seen that? It's all over everywhere.
Well, I don't think it looked like an art. No, I guess. I travel different circles, I guess.
Yeah, anyway. So they say that the Oreo cookie actually predicted that it wasn't going to work. You didn't know that?
Anyway, the last Oreo cookie I had, I ate a big bag of them just before I went to the dentist, but that's the last time I've seen it.
Well, now that we've wasted the first minute on bad jokes, that was Kenny Barr you heard. We've got Tom Wolf. Tiny's behind the board. Got my grandson Mark here with me today, and a special guest is going to help us out with a roundtable, and he's actually going to give us some insight on some good racing going on, I guess, regionally and locally. Keith Beeching from Winchester Speedway. Okay, Keith, welcome.
Thank you.
Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Are we sure about that?
He's got the first part down right.
We haven't grilled you yet, so.
We'll see. Ask me at the end of the show.
Yeah. See how fast he runs out the door.
Yeah, there you go. But, yeah, we're going to talk a lot about that. And Winchester getting ready to start its 99th year, and we'll have a discussion about that. And, man, I'm just so excited because by the time the show airs, we're going to be around 50 days before the Daytona 500 starts. And we all know that starts the whole racing season everywhere. So I'm getting pretty excited about it. And one of the things we're going to talk about today here in the first segment, we want to talk about what Kenny, what Tom, myself, and even Keith, if he's ready to chime in, the top three things we'd like to see or are excited to see coming up in. We originally said NASCAR, but we're just going to say racing in general. So we're just going to have some fun. Talk a little bit about Bearfield. Bearfield, if you haven't heard, has come up with a what's the word I'm trying to use, a promoter. So some changes going there, and kind of surprised at how many people are happy they got rid of Goodyear tires out there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Well, the tires they chose aren't a heck of a lot better, but they're there.
Well, we'll talk about that later.
Goodyear actually pulled out of their quit making short track. They pulled out altogether.
Is that what happened?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah,
They pulled out of their short track program.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well, see?
Well, I just saw some people cheering on Facebook and Twitter.
I'm calling you on Sunday afternoon for a download for all the stuff that I have no idea of so I can spit it out Sunday night and make it sound like I know what I'm talking about.
Well, you know what? We'll put the other thing in the NASCAR up. Let's talk about Bearfield. You know, 50th year. May not sound like big news to a lot of people, but around here, that's huge, you know, because, you know, with the way Bearfield's been going in the past few years, nobody thought it'd still be here, but yet it still keeps kicking. Tom Ish had some health problems and had to retire, and I know he told me several times that he wanted to make it to the 50th, but there was no way that was going to happen, and I hope he's doing okay, because I haven't heard anything about him. Have you heard anything, Keith?
No, I have not.
I was just wondering. Kenny, you've
heard anything? Not a peep. I suppose we'd get on the phone if we really wanted to know, but well, maybe we'll check on him next week and see what's going on.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. So, but Bearfield's back, and you're saying, what else do you know about what's going on over there? Since I'm sure you know, stay in the loop.
I was at the midget races last night, and I ran into John Rainey, who is the new promoter. I talked to Ron Cooper, who helps John out a lot, and from what they told me, the tower and the VIP suite has been knocked down.
Needed to be.
Yeah.
You sure it was knocked down or just didn't fall down?
It may have fell down. All the building, Ron told me all the buildings in the pits have been torn down. He cleaned the woods out there. Basically anything that was wood is burning.
Wow. No kidding.
And I think they're probably looking at doing something with the front stretch wall and repairing it. And, I mean, hats off to John. You never want to see a racetrack close, and
no,
he's going to great expenses and a lot of work to make it work. And
well, I'm hearing a rumor that, and I say rumor because I haven't been out or talked to anybody from there, but rumor has it they're also resurfacing some of that and fixing the track. Have you heard that?
I have not heard anything about that.
I know they got some estimates from Brooks to do that, but I'm sure that when they saw the five figures, they kind of went, maybe we can go another season without doing that. And that's probably one of the things at the bottom of the wish list for racers.
Sure. No, that's not the bottom. That's the top.
Well,
several of them I've talked, they said, because it's going through tires quite a bit.
But they'll live with it for another year if they can make a go of it and he can make a buck and resurface it right, because they really want the fans to come back. That's their number one thing. They want the thing to survive and be fruitful and continue to go forward. But it's been around since 1964, 1963, when they tore down the Fort Wayne Speedway.
Right.
Because that and South Anthony went at the same time, and then Bearfield opened up. So there's a lot of us old racers. Keith ate a lot of dirt out there. I've ate a lot of dirt out there. I've tried to knock that wall down once or twice myself. I guarantee it didn't move in the 70s. I don't know what it's doing now.
No. Well, I think it's moving a little bit every time it's hit now, but as many cracks as in there. But you know what? It's an old speedway, and I give them credit. They come up with some great stuff, and I wish them luck. I hope they make a go of it, but I hope they get smart about it and treat people better than what they had in the past. And I hate to say that, and I'm not disparaging. I'm not trying to be mean. But, you know, and Keith, you can tell me, you've been around enough. I think the number one, if you take care of your racers and you take care of your fans and you take care of your sponsors, you know, you may lose a little money for a while, but isn't that the name of the game?
Yes. And even on from the fan side, I mean, if they walk through there and had been there before and see improvements being made, they start talking, it brings more people out. I mean, it just, it's nothing but positive on that, and we all know that it needed many improvements for
need a little TLC.
Many years.
Well, I got to tell you, there was a couple times when we called races out there, and we were standing up in that press box, and all of a sudden the wind blows, and we were all big guys. There wasn't none of us small on the radio crew, and anytime somebody moved, you could just feel the swaying going back and forth. And I swear to God, climbing up the steps a couple times, I could have swore I felt the, you know, the swaying going on.
But. Oh, I'm sure that, that you did. And this is a great time to ask Keith about the story that he was just sharing with us off the air about the roof. Tell us about that, Keith.
I was out there one night. I don't remember what I was doing in the tower, if it was with the USA Modified or what, but the wind was blowing and the tar paper blew over the window of the, basically the tower, and we couldn't see the racetrack, you know, and everybody's like hollering yellow. Of course, Tom's like, you know, what's going on, and so he tells Jerry Ladd to climb up on the roof to pull that tar paper back so we can at least see the racetrack, and he warned Jerry about watch out for the raccoon up there, and Jerry on his way up saw these huge piles of and next thing I hear on the radio is, Tom, just how big is this raccoon?
Now you laugh because we were doing a race, and the way they have it from the actual where they call the races from and do all the scoring and everything to the press box where we were doing our stuff from, I was doing a race, and I looked over, and I couldn't believe what I saw, but there was two windows between it, and here's this raccoon just, you know, sitting up on his haunches just with his nose pressed against the window.
It's a race fan.
That was your first hand.
Yeah.
I actually, at Bear Field, I grew up in that area and was good friends with the Weisenauer family that originally built that, John and Ed, and when that was originally started, it was just a go-kart track. And I can remember, if you look in the pits, you can still see the go-kart track layout.
Right.
And then they started building the speedway. What the original plan was is there was going to be a drag strip in that woods. And
really?
At that time, the runway was not out that far. And they basically paid us a couple bucks a piece. And it was like my fourth grade class. We went out there and cleaned that woods out, so they could go in there and get ready to put the drag strip in. And then, of course, you know, they ran into huge expenses on the speedway. And then, you know, I guess they went and the lawyers, they got some investors involved, and then they ended up losing it when it was all said and done. But, yeah, I remember the day it was built.
Wow. So how many kids then got poison ivy back there cleaning up?
Probably all of us.
Now, see, that's something new I never knew.
Yeah.
I never knew that they, you know, intended on building a drag strip back there. I wonder why it's not done now.
It would be right off of turn one and two. And that strip along there, it's a bean field now, but that was the original. And like I said, at that time, the runway was not extended out that far.
Right.
So wow. It was all open, but that was in the original plan with John and Ed Weisenauer.
So tell us, in your mind, what's going to be the secret to success for this thing to really take off this year? No, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. If you don't, you feel uncomfortable, that's cool.
I think John and the crew that's with him, you know, the people are helping him, I think the improvements are going to be a huge key. He's got, I think he said like 68 shows or something between go-karts, dirt, and asphalt.
Say what?
Yeah, and the half mile, the 3/8. That's what Ron told me. But Ron's been known to exaggerate sometimes. But
well, you're talking about a show would be different styles of cars each
yeah,
night. Okay,
yeah,
I was
yeah.
going to go, wow, 68.
Yeah. Actually, it's 68 different dates, right?
Yes.
I mean,
now that's counting go-kart. You know, go-karts run on Friday night.
Well, I guess that's positive. That's not as bad as I think. Okay.
Yeah, and he has some Wednesday night. Yeah, I know he has a big super late show, Outlaw Super Late back at Bear Field.
Awesome.
People love to watch him. You know, I just think he's 100% heading in the right direction to get people back out there.
Well, Mr. Kenny Barr, that was an excellent call bringing Keith in here because he knows more than I do.
Me too.
That helps us out.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I'm just glad to see it, and I hope everything does work out. And you know, we'll probably get those guys on, or one or two of them on here.
Give it a whirl
here and see what's going on. So, but well, the show just went haywire, but that's okay. We're going to have some fun. We're going to talk racing. Doesn't matter, right?
Segment 3 is in segment 1, and segment 2 will be segment 4, and we got a producer that knows how to count to 4.
Oh,
anyway,
no. We're going to keep it just like this because we're having the flow and just keep on going.
It's your show, Cliff.
Yeah.
You got it, Brady.
You know what? We forgot real quick. You need to go to RadioSpeedTalk.com. Check us out there. Remind me in the second segment. Got to tell you what's going on there. Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. Kenny Bar 52 is on Twitter, and I'm at Radio Speed Talk too. Folks, we need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more racing. You're listening to
Speed Talk.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
199 left, and baby, it all comes down to this.
Your talk show for NASCAR.
Yeah! Now that's what I'm talking about.
The Balance Online.
Welcome back to Speed Talk. We got Tom Wolf, Kenny Barr, Tidy over here directing the traffic, and he's showing us that we're all number one. We're in good shape here. We got Keith Beeching joining us from Winchester Speedway. What was that?
He's doing the Saturday night. Oh my God! I'm looking to my left. It's got to be better.
Yeah, don't. RadioSpeedTalk.com. Check us out there, and that is being redone right now. So if you do check it out, it's not there. Wait momentarily. It is going to be back up. We got all kinds of good things coming up, hopefully some new affiliates and some new things going on in 2013. Go to facebook.com/radiospeedtalk. And Kenny, you are where at Twitter?
KennyBar52.
Well, no, it just got quiet.
I was waiting for Tom to pop up there. You know, I give him the look. You know, that radio look. It's your turn.
Are you going to spell it out?
Oh, come on. I've spelled it out the last three shows. You spelled it out the week I wasn't here, all so right. I think they got it.
Well, I'm at Radio Speed Talk, too. But check us out there anytime. You know, as Tiny said last week, let us know what you want to hear, who you want to hear, anything that you want to see going on with Speed Talk in 2013, let us know, because it's going to be a great, exciting year.
Radio Speed
and
Talk.
I think it's going to be a great year for racing everywhere. I'm just feeling it.
Yeah, there's some things that I'm looking forward to watching, keeping the finger on the pulse of, seeing how it washes out. That Swan Racing that's building a team that hired Steve Meehl and Tony Urie Jr. I think, although it's a one-off team, we've talked about it before, the one-off teams just don't have the same information dump that other ones do. They're hiring the right people and putting them in the right positions. That's going to be an interesting but plus it's David Stremme driving the car. He's out of South Bend, and, you know, I'm a little bit of a homie for anybody from Indiana. Courtney Force is another thing that I think is going to be interesting to watch in the NHRA. You know, she won more races than her sister did at this stage of the game. And I haven't heard that John's retiring, but I think he would benefit that team better by retiring and coaching everybody.
You do know he's got another daughter that's going to become a rookie this year, right?
Has she got her license?
that she's working on it. From what I understand, she should, because she's been running it on the testing over there in Sonoma.
Yep.
So.
And he's who's the competitor that helps get them guys licensed? I forget. But yeah, they're all good buddies.
That's
and stuff,
Jack Beckman.
Yeah, that's right, Beckman. And that I think that's going to be an interesting story to watch. And then we're going to keep an eye on the GoDaddy and James Hinchcliffe. I think we're going to kind of root for him. Politely, you know, being in broadcasting, you have to say stay tremendously neutral. But when the mic's off, you can say just about anything you want to. And once in a while, you do it with a mic on, which gets you in a little bit of trouble with race directors. Especially when they call themselves a sheriff and you're about,
Yeah, yeah.
Sit up straight. Let's go. He's coming up the stairs.
So
the food.
How much of an impact, Kenny, in your opinion, do you think? It will take a year. Do you think they'll get an immediate impact with the Swan Racing? Or do you think you might see some huge improvements right off the bat?
You'll see huge improvements right off the bat, but they're not going to run up front. But they're going to, if they end up with a top 10, top 15 car on a consistent basis, I would call that a victory.
I still think we got so much.
That's a tough nut to crack. Everybody, you got to bring your A game every week in NASCAR. If you don't, you're going to run 20th or lower. And stuff, and he's dumping money.
Oh, it's come a long way.
We'll see. It'll be interesting. There's always a learning curve, but there's a lot of experience there too. And I'm sure they're buying chassis from somebody and leasing motors from somebody else. And
they always do.
That's what they were growing.
It depends on how much time they get on that 7 post shaker to simulate races and the wind tunnel and that kind of thing. Everybody's got their new body style, so they're starting at the same place. The guys with the more money is going to have the more R&D. And they're going to be a little bit ahead of the game, but they'll be all right. They'll be all right. I'm going to watch them. It's going to be interesting.
Tom, what about you? What's the top three things you think we ought to be looking for, or are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to, in the Cup Series, to see how Penske handles a switch from Dodge to Ford. And if there's any break in momentum or if they have any problems, you know, not only are you switching manufacturers, but then you've got the new body style coming in. So that'll be an interesting one to watch. You guys know where I'm going with the Nationwide Series. I'm looking forward to that race at Mid-Ohio on the road course. So
I quit.
And then trucks at Eldora. You know, did we finalize that yet?
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's going to be fun to watch down there, too. And on the local scene, you know, at Winchester and Bearfield, maybe getting around to some of the local tracks a little bit more this year and checking out what's going on.
Tom said he's looking forward to a race on dirt.
Yes, I know.
The trucks on
dirt. And I got to tell you.
Well, they race on dirt. Trucks race?
They actually found out.
Outside the door.
They did some testing, and they don't have to make any safety changes at Eldora because... You know, they don't have to do anything, safety barriers or anything.
Yeah, just two changes to the truck. They got to change the exhaust dump
right
where it's out, and then one other relatively minor change. It's not going to be any big deal with race teams. So, and they're only going to start 30, 32 maybe. They're not going to start the full field like you normally do.
Yeah, I think I read it was like 30 or 31, I think, is what they're going to run out of there. It was kind of an odd number because they always run...
We need to get on the phone. We got to get some comps for that.
We're going to have that. Trust me. Trust me. What about you, Keith?
I wouldn't want to go buy them the day of.
No.
Oh,
yeah, no. What are you looking forward to this year?
I love, of course, I do Winchester Speedway. We have right now tentatively 5 shows. Wing Sprints are back. We got the world's record back last year.
Until he's actually on
if I'm not at Winchester, I'm at a racetrack somewhere. I live in Hamilton. I'm close to Angola Speedway, which is under new ownership. This is the second year for them. They have some new people in there. Wes Parrish is back, who had promoted it before when Dick Poe had it. Bearfield, of course. You know, there's just people don't realize there's so many... short tracks around here that just put on awesome shows on weekends.
Well, I'll tell you, my top three is kind of an interesting, and I look at things sometimes a little bit differently, but my first one is how soon Tony George is going to come in and screw up the IRL once again.
Oh, done already.
And annihilate it. No,
he hasn't got it. Actually,
they hired somebody else to take over for the president that resigned.
Good move, number one.
Yes, but I still think that was a mistake. Even though they lost $3 million, they were on the right track. And you know, I think they got scared of Tony taking over, I mean, quite honestly. But that's probably my biggest one. My second one is, will we have another power failure? And what I mean by that is, will Power going to get up there at the end again and lose three in a row of running through? And the NASCAR, I got to say, I'm looking forward, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the new car. Because, Kenny, you know, as we talked about before, you say some of the older guys are going to like it because that car is going to go back to more of what it used to be. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens and who's going to pick up, who's not going to pick up. And I don't know, man. I'm going to be interesting to see if Keselowski can do it. But probably my biggest thing that I'm looking forward to in NASCAR is how Denny Hamlin and Kyle Busch are going to handle having Matt Kenseth with them. That is going to be interesting because I hope he comes out and wins a championship and shows him two boys. I've got three, and I've only been here at Gibbs for 1 year, and I would love to see that. And I think by that, that's going to cause a lot of reaction. We may see some firings before the end of the year next year, I think.
Good. That'll drive Toyota. Excuse me. I'm probably going to get in trouble for doing that.
I guess my question is, are you going to get fired from your job every time you say Toyota? Is that
well, I hope not. That's why
okay.
I say it quietly. Actually, we'll work on them. You know, bring them in. We'll fix them.
I'm sure you will.
Absolutely.
But so anyway, I don't know, man. I just think it's going to be a crazy year.
I forgot about that.
Your list is short. You forgot one.
What? Oh, by the way, I'll let you know that I have been contacted by Danny because people, and they asked me to cease on that or I will be sued. So I think we need to stop.
He does. We don't.
Physical cliff.
Send her a retest
photo. That could have been the next apocalypse.
The physical cliff?
So, but yeah. Ever since Danica announced her divorce, we've been trying to get Cliff to give her a call, go on a date, and then finance a speed talk thing. He's hesitant, to say the least. We're trying to build his confidence and shove him forward and you know, encourage him as much as we can. He's
dude, she weighs as much as my right leg.
So what?
She
when did you start dating girls by weight?
I never said I did.
There you go.
But she dates guys by that, I'm sure.
Well, then
well I don't know. Then if the rumors that you guys started that she's dating Tony Stewart, then I guess that really doesn't matter. But he is still a little smaller than I am.
I'm betting you that it pops out before May.
That they're dating or that she's pregnant?
No. Dating. I didn't mean pop out like physically pop out.
Well, you said pop out like that. I just had to go. You know how we are. We roll with what you say, man.
Okay. But the word dating, there'll be an item before the Indy 500.
Wow. What do you think about that prediction there, Tom?
I think we better stop this physically.
Yeah, I think so. We're gonna be in trouble. And I was not contacted.
Will be an item
well, see?
That, so.
I'm trying to get us to quit picking on him.
Yeah.
No, I'm not, you know.
At least about that.
Say again?
At least about that.
At least about that?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, don't ever stop picking on me. I'll think you all hate me at that point.
Oh, no, we'll never hate you.
All right.
Your name's at the top of the list. We can't.
So tell us a little bit about what is going to happen. You said you got the sprints back coming back to Winchester. What else you got going on?
Super Modifieds will be back. If you've not saw those, they're a unique race car.
Fast.
Oh,
my.
Big block, side-mounted. Of course, we have the old-timers weekend in August.
Neat.
And, yes, Kenny was there last year. He did some announcing for us. And it's just a fun time.
What exactly is the old-timers? I mean, we could go into
that.
There's
actually a group that travels around and two different racetracks. And they have restored old race cars. I mean, Kenny, how many do we have? 50?
Quite a few.
I think
a lot
we
more
had like
I
52 of them, or 55. And you saw everything. I mean,
really?
From
in
the
30s. Yeah, 38 Ford Coupe.
Yeah.
All the way to Indy cars from the 60s and anything in between. Yeah, it was.
Did they have the Wasp or whatever that one, the first one they had?
That was not there. The Mormon Wasp was down there, but... it was really neat, and there was a guy named Al, funky last name, H-E-X-L-T or something, but he knew every detail about every bolt on every one of these cars. And as they would go by, he would pick one and talk about it, and they were out there just doing laps, you know, taking their time, enjoying themselves, and then he'd get done with that little bio, and he'd find he'd see something else. And he did all this just from memory. I didn't see him cheating with notes or anything.
It was unreal that he knew those cars. And, of course, then we have regular racing along with that. Saturdays we do the Top Speed Modified Series. And, you know, we run Sportsman Late Models, CRA.
All right, we'll talk a little bit more about that. I don't mean to cut you off. I didn't realize we were close. Again, RadioSpeedTalk.com, Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. You're listening to Speed Talk right now. Kenny Barr.
Kenny Barr 52.
And it's K-E-N-N-Y.
No, B-A-R-R 52.
And I'm at Radio Speed Talk 2. And it is the number 2, not spelled out, T-W-O.
And my number is 52 because that was my dad's number way back in the 40s when he started racing.
Well, there you go. All right, folks, need to take a break. You're listening to
Speed Talk.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Welcome back to Speed Talk. Again, we got Kenny Barr, Tom Wolf. And we got a special guest with Keith Beeching from Winchester Speedway. I'm Cliff Tanner. We got Tiny behind the board trying to keep us cool and, I guess, right.
Sounding good.
I don't
good.
Know if that's possible.
It's an impossible task.
Sometimes I
think maybe he wishes he wouldn't have taken this thing on. We drive him bananas, among other things.
All right, RadioSpeedTalk.com. Check us out. All the interviews, anything you want to hear, just drop us a line. Say, hey, what's up? You guys suck. You're having a good time. Whatever. Tell us what you want to hear, don't want to hear. Help us improve it, man. Let's have some fun with this show this year, 2013. As you know, we're changing the show format. We're going half national and half local and regional, which is why we have Keith with us, and I'm glad you joined us. I appreciate that once again. But, you know, it's all up to you, my friend. You have to tell us about you. Give us your story in racing.
How far back you want to go?
You can start with, well, it depends. If you can keep it under 15 minutes.
I can remember going to South Anthony Speedway with my dad. Then, of course, like I said earlier, the Bear Field was being built, and him and I would go to Bear Field just about every weekend. Actually, I think they may have been running Wednesday nights when they started. But I remember the guardrail, the walls all the way around it. Then I got into racing myself and raced a little bit, and I was terrible, I admit it. And I got into helping people. Roger Miracle was around for years. Ron Cooper owned the car. Roger Miracle drove the modified. I helped them out a lot and enjoyed it. And Jim Minnick had started the Jasper Modified Series and called me and asked me if I would be interested in doing tech for him the next year. And I thought, well, that'd be kind of neat. You know, I go to get to see all these different racetracks and get paid for it. So I did that for a couple of years, and then Jim sold the series to Steve Ellis, and I worked for Steve and Cherie Ellis for, I believe, 4 or 5 years. Then Steve sold it to Todd Van Cleek, who had it 2 years, and then gave it back to Steve. So I've been through several owners. Anyway, Steve, I worked for him for a couple more years, and Steve made me the offer to buy the series, which I did. I had it 3 years. It just became, it's basically a full-time job, and I do have a full-time job. You know, I was on my cell phone all the time. You're trying to line sponsorship up, talking to racetracks, and all along the line I got to know, you know, promoters of racetracks, safety crews, because I worked with them all. And anyway, I had sold the series, and a friend of mine that actually worked for me for a while was the race director at Winchester, and he called me up and he says, I'm not going to do it anymore. And I thought, oh, he'll change his mind. He's like me, he loves the place. And he didn't change his mind, so I called Gary McFarland, who was the general manager, and said, what are you going to do? And he said, well, I don't know. Why, you want the job? Well, I'd like to. And he said he had to run it past Charlie Shaw, who's the owner of the track. And he called me back and said, well, Charlie said it's, you know, it's my decision. And he said, I just don't see why it won't work. You know, I had worked with with the modified series with CRA, who's at Winchester a lot. I knew most of the safety crew. I knew most of the people I was going to work with. So last year was my first year. I was able to basically walk in, and it just, it's just awesome. I if you have never been to Winchester Speedway,
oh man,
you need to go to Winchester Speedway. Because I just love to watch people come in, walk under the bleachers up to the track where that gate is, and just go, you got to be kidding me.
That's exactly what this guy, the guy right beside me did. He went, ooh, I like. There wasn't even a car on the track yet. And he's going, oh,
I just,
man,
love,
I'm telling you.
I just love to watch racing there. It's fast. Like I said, we are the world's fastest half mile now. It's amazing how up here where we live, people don't even know it's there. You know, you say, Winchester, where's that at? You know, so we're trying to get the word out, you know, hey, you got to come down here and watch it. We do the 400 every year in October. Kyle Busch runs in it. Chase Elliott.
Well, he tries to.
Well, he didn't run much in it this year.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, Ross Kinzeth ended up winning it. Chase Elliott runs in it. We got a lot of up-and-coming people that run in it. I mean, it's just, it's an awesome, awesome show. It's weekend. We have camping. You know, it's basically a big party. Everybody puts that one on their calendar.
Yeah, they sure do. I did remember going down there in the 70s. We took Dad's late model and tried to qualify and realized we were way out of our league. But we had a blast at night, man. You know, we loaded up the trailer, went and found some people and just fired up the grills and just had a hoot. You know, Dave Sorg won the first one back in 71 or whatever it was. They've run it 43 years in a row.
Right.
Dave used to drive for Dad, so I got to know a lot of those guys. And for a while, it was the Bob Seneca benefit race. I think he won about 5 years in a row.
Yeah.
He's very smooth. Won 7 altogether. His brother Terry won it once. There's a lot of names that went down there and did very, very well.
A lot of them were there last year.
Yeah.
We brought a lot of the previous winners in, had them set up a table on the front stretch. And of course, everybody was lined up to get Kyle Busch's.
Of course. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I
like him or not, he can drive a race car.
Yes, he can.
Yeah. You cannot take that away from him.
I saw how they had that set up. I should have went down there on Sunday. Because they had them, the chairs up against the front stretch wall, and then the tables out, which is a really good idea.
So they can't
to do
run.
That. Well, no, but you could throw stuff through the fence at him; he couldn't get away.
See, he's over here shaking his head. Yes,
I had nothing to do with that.
No, I didn't.
That's not my department. All the tables are set up.
No, I thought it was a good idea. I mean, it looked
it
stretched
worked,
things out.
It worked out well.
So, how long have you been at Winchester then?
Last year was actually my first.
Was
year.
It?
Yes.
Yeah, because one of the greatest things I ever heard anybody say when you were talking about, it was supposed to rain that weekend, if I remember right, that Saturday we were there. And you were talking about all the guys complaining about, well, what if it rains? What if it rains? He goes, well, I don't, you know, I can't remember exactly what you said, but it cracked me up. But it had something to do with, what if it rains doing something else or something like that. It was just the way he said it.
It rains at baseball games.
Telling, you know, I have people start calling me on Tuesday. You know, what are you going to do if it rains on Saturday? And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You know? What are you supposed to tell them? We did. We got rain Saturday. Kenny was there. I don't know if he stayed awake for the whole thing, but
I was there.
Yeah.
I almost did.
We did. I caught the last race at like 1 in the morning.
I think we finished at 1:30 in the morning. Of course, the party.
It was supposed to start at 9.
It was supposed to start at 9, and Charlie and Gary said, look, we need to start this later. The band worked with us. It was it all worked out. But that Saturday, I have never saw a racetrack not dry like that.
Yeah, that was a lot of humidity in here and stuff.
Wind was blowing. It should have dried, you know, within a matter of time, and we just could not get it to dry. We finally did, but
it was kind of weird. I want to back up a question on you. I know you owned the USA Modified Series for a while, and I've always been curious of how that works. Now, do you get with a promoter, and a promoter pays you to bring the series in, and then are you responsible for the purse, or how does that whole thing work? If I'm John Rainey and I want to call Keith Beeching and get his race cars in my show,
they actually either I contact them or by word of mouth, you know, they may contact me. I had it work both ways. There's a set purse that I would have for X amount of dollars. And that's what you tell the promoter, we will bring this show in for X amount of dollars. Then the series pays the drivers. The track pays the series one lump sum.
Mm-hmm.
The advantage of it for the racetracks is, number one, you're not dealing with any 1099s. For each racer, for the money paid out, the series takes care of that. You don't make the calls. Basically, you get a show, and you write a check at the end of the night. And a lot of people say, well, why would they bring you in? Well, if you're going to pay $7,500 for a show, why would you worry about having your own tech people, your flagman, and when you can still write a check at the end of the night for the same amount of money,
right,
and walk away? That's what we do at Winchester. We do not have any weekly series or whatever. They are all sanctioning bodies that come in and run with us.
Does that always seem to work better going that route? Because you don't have to deal with that?
Yes. Anytime you got to deal with racers and tech and trust me, racers' wives.
Oh, yeah.
If you can get away from that, and that's what we do at Winchester. At the end of the night, the series is paid and they handle everything else.
Except for if it might rain on Tuesday, Saturday.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's the truth. I do have people call me. Is it going to? What if it rains? It looks, it looks like it's going to rain on Saturday. It's Tuesday.
Now there was one guy, Scott Hans, that decided not to show up on Saturday and showed up on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And obviously he is in the show. He's one of the best short track racers in America right now. And everybody was kind of making fun of him, and he was probably the smartest guy in the whole bunch. He didn't have to wait till 2 in the morning to go load things up.
His eyes were open.
That helps.
Yeah. Sunday morning, he was the only one awake.
So talk a little bit about how difficult is it to get sponsorship for like the Winchester. I mean, what do you got to do?
It's very hard. Sponsorship is very, very hard to get. The big thing now is TV time. People, sponsors, to get big sponsors, that's about the first thing they'll ask you is, can I get any TV time? We have a bunch of great sponsors down there. Our pit wall is almost full with great sponsors, but to get a major, major sponsor, it's just like NASCAR, it's very tough.
No, at one time, Winchester was on television on Thursday night for Thursday Night Thunder and stuff.
Yes, with USAC.
Yeah, is there any way, this might be an unfair question, and if it's way out of bounds, let me know, but do you get a hold, you just call Speed Channel and say, hey, I mean, how would that work if you were trying to get
back on television like that?
Write him a check.
That was easy enough. Well, here comes the end of segment three. I'm sure we're well within a minute.
I mean, what else do you say? It's money.
Yeah.
You know. Actually, we had some of our, when the Jasper modifies, we had some TV, and it was Speed when they were just first getting started.
Wow.
And they would record it, and Jim Minnick would go to Toledo, Ohio, and do the voiceover then the next week. And so, you know, but back then they were looking for
stuff to fill.
All right, yeah. We need to get a break, and we'll come back and talk some more about that. And, again, RadioSpeedTalk.com, Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk, KennyBar52, Radio Speed Talk 2 on Twitter. You take a break. You're listening to
Speed Talk.
Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
I am Optimus Prime, and I send this message to any surviving Autobots taking refuge among the stars. We are here. We are waiting.
Welcome back to Speed Talk. SpeedTalk.com, Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. Kenny, you are at Twitter. I'll let you tell all of Twitter just then.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am. I Twitter a lot. I tweet a lot.
You tweet what?
Yeah, I even tweet when I'm sitting in the bathroom. KennyBar52. That's where I do my best thinking. That's where a lot of Did You Know comes from.
Wow, that's nice to know.
Yeah, yeah.
Our show just turned to crap, and we don't even realize
it. I really needed to know that.
You're very welcome.
Yeah.
Well, you know, life's busy. I got other things to do when I'm standing vertical.
Well, that's Kenny Bar you're hearing. Tom Wolf, we got Tony behind the bar.
Behind the bar?
Well, he probably wants to be about
what if he got his Christmas presents there? That 58 thingamajigger he was wondering.
Again, we're joined with Keith Beeching from Winchester and all kinds of things. We started talking about sponsorship a little bit, and you say it's difficult. Why do you think it is difficult? I mean, obviously, with the economy, things are going down, but it used to be that guys, you know, whether it be a national company or even a regional company, love to be around short track racers because they knew that's where the fans were. Is it because the fan base has gone down, or is it because of money, or what is it?
I think it's mostly money. They've just, you know, everybody, we've all done it, had to. Everybody's just tightened their belts up. And I just don't believe that the money is out there like it used to be. I'm not saying there aren't good sponsors out there.
Well, sure there is.
It's hard to get. It is very hard.
Well, you know, I sit and I listen to, you know, some promoters. We talked to Bob Corson and them guys at Bear Field several times, and they say how difficult it is. But, I mean, how do you even approach somebody? I mean, obviously, you're always going to have your sponsors that stick with you, usually, through thick and thin. But, you know, how kind of take us through the process, if you can, on how you even contact somebody, or is it a long process, maybe?
A lot of it is knowing people.
Okay.
You know, you talk to somebody, and I know so-and-so from XYZ company, and this is who you need to contact. Most your big, big corporations have a marketing group that they use to do all their marketing, basically distribute their money. Actually, looking for sponsorship, you should start in like August of the year before. Because like this time of year, these companies have already...
Usually by the first,
yes,
right.
...have already allocated all their, you know, whatever they have set aside for racing sponsorship for the year.
Uh-oh, we better get to work.
Yeah, well, I know. Well, Keith, I'm going to put you kind of on the spot. You've been around racing a lot, and I've done this to Kenny and Steve Minnick Sr. And other people we've had on. But I got to tell us a couple of your best stories that you've seen over the years, or maybe your funniest or craziest, or I know you got a bunch of them because I've heard you tell some of them. So don't try to say you don't.
Well, I don't know. I have bunches of them.
Well, just give us a couple quick ones.
I was, when I owned the USA Modifieds, we had a race at Bear Field, as a matter of fact, and what was the dealership in Kendallville?
Shepherd's?
No, before.
Jack D.
Tony Barkas had given us a new Monte Carlo for a pace car at Bear Field.
Oh, I know where this is going.
And one of the mechanics at Jack D was a friend of mine, and I said, would you like to drive the pace car? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, I'll give you a radio. You just listen to what I tell you to, you know where this is going, as to when to get off the racetrack.
I didn't think this was better than I thought.
And he had three or four people in there, and we threw the green flag, and he didn't get off the racetrack. He took him into turn one. And I just had this vision as like I just bought a new Monte Carlo. And luckily, John Gerhart, who's raced forever, and somebody on the front row was smart enough to basically not just jam on the brakes when they realized what happened, kept things rolling and slowed them down. I think we lost one car over the deal, but afterwards I went up and I said, you didn't listen to what I told you. The radio had gone dead.
Oh, no.
Which I had no idea.
Wow.
And, of course, I figured something happened when I watched my pace car leading the first lap into turn one. And the guy in the back seat came up to me and he said he looked out the window and told the driver, I think we're in big trouble. So I never will forget that because I could see writing a check to Jack D for a new Monte Carlo with the, you know, no rear quarter panel.
Yeah, but I bet she's got to trying to get that first lap contingency money from you.
Yeah. And then, you know, one guy came up to him and he goes, well, we're here to put on a show. And I,
Well, that reminded me of the night that, I'm sorry, that reminded me of the night that Tony Dagger decided to take his Prowler up. And were you up there that night up in Angola?
Yeah.
Well, Tony is a fairly accomplished racer. And he broke his car early in the night, so he offered to pace the field all night long. And it was one to go. He was coming around two, and they dive in to the infield right out of two and then dive in. Well, he loops this thing in between one and two. Does a complete 360, and here comes the field.
Oh,
Tony's
no.
All elbows and everything else. He got her out of the way, but it was like, well, this is getting good.
No, you got to top that one, man. You got a better one?
Boy. There's so many, you know.
Anything from your driving days? Any crazy things?
Yeah, give us. Why did you quit driving? You said you weren't very good at it, but why? I mean, it still had to be fun.
It was fun, but at the time I was driving truck over the road. I'd be gone all week, and you know I had a couple guys that helped me. Said, "Well, we'll get this done or that done." And if something came up, you know, I was going Saturday night and unloading the car, and the first thing you do, you're changing the gear or whatever, you know, hoping you can get qualified in time. John Moon and I used to see who could be the last one at the racetrack. And, you know, it got to be a joke where people would look down the road when they're lined up for qualifying and say, well, either John or Keith's going to come pulling in. It just got to be too much. And like I said, I spent money and didn't take a lot back in. But people laugh because I actually ran it at Winchester Speedway. I went down there with Mike Hendricks, and I went out, went around it, and Mike came in, and I came in, and Mike goes like, "You're 3 seconds off the pace." And I said, "Well, I'm going as fast as I can." And I said, "If I didn't have so much money in this car, I'd just let you take it out and see what it's like out there." And he never did. He never climbed in it, but it just, you know, everybody else was running up in the groove, and the flagman's giving me the layover flag.
And you're already
laid over. Well, what do you want me to do, drive down pit wall? Or what? I'm as low as I can be. And that's why working at Winchester, I have the most respect for anybody that races. Some of the best do not like that place.
Ed Howe loaded up, wouldn't go. Several guys. And I used to have the sign, and you've seen the picture, on my Twitter account, through these gates, walk past the bravest racers in the world. And I believe that, because that's a fast, high bank. It's higher than Daytona, and it's only a half mile. I've been on it, too. I've been on it twice. Once in Dad's late mile, I was like you. I didn't have the stones to really get after it, because I was kind of afraid to break Dad's car. He'd kill me. And then the first time we went there, they had us go in the back pit gate on the back stretch. So we took the trailer and the car around, and the guy who was driving the truck thought he'd be a smart aleck, and he got up on the bank. Well, we're just, you know, going slow, and the trailer starts going to the left, and we're trying to pull this thing down. And we eased her down on the apron again and got around there. But, you know, that just told you just how steep and
we actually kept the trailer over about 3 years ago. I was down there, and somebody was goofing around. One trailer was down low, and one was up high, and up high tipped over into the up against the one.
No, but they didn't do that again, did they?
No. They, you know, somebody, and it wasn't their trailer.
Oh boy! Now, were you there for the Volkswagen roll that I've heard about so much?
No.
Got a Volkswagen to stay on the apex, and he went on the outside of the track and just give it a big shove and let it tumble down.
No, I wasn't there for that.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Keith. You know, especially at Winchester this last year, I mean, I've gone to, I think, 3 or 4 races and seen all the talent. Who do you think is some of the best up-and-coming talent coming up? I mean, you had Elliott, you got Eric Jones, you got McLaughlin. I mean, you got all those guys flying through there here recently. Who do you think is the best of the best of that group?
Well, I don't know. I've watched them all, and Chase Elliott impresses me.
Right.
He has a very good spotter, naturally.
Well, daddy.
He's very, very calm. He doesn't push the issue. You know, people have listened to him on the radio, and it's like, they're going to rack up here, so I'm just going to sit back and ride. You know, that's his comments. He's very, very sharp. Of course, obviously, Rick Hendrick thinks he is, too, because he is under contract with Rick right now. Eric Jones, you know, what can you say?
For a kid that doesn't even have no racing experience until he got into a race car.
Yes. Actually, you bring that up about the young kids, and I never thought about it, but a guy told me, it was actually Freddie Query, that the reason he thinks these young kids are so sharp and the reaction times, what it takes to drive a race car, is from video games.
Really?
And I never gave that a thought and got to thinking, you know what, he might be onto something.
I never thought of that either.
No, but makes some sense, something to think about. Maybe somebody else will have some input on that, but
Denny Hamlin said at one time that's why he was so good at Pocono, because the one video game he played, he liked Pocono the best,
and he got used to the entry points and the braking points and things of that nature, and it actually transcended into racing out there. And for a couple of years, he was unbeatable. So I think there's quite a bit to that.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, again, Keith Beeching, we appreciate you coming on. Hopefully we can get you on again, and I know I'm going to be at some shows this year.
Hope we see everybody down there. Come down and have a good time. Awesome place.
I'm telling you, folks, if you've never been there, you got to check it out because it is awesome. It is very awesome to watch. It's some great young talent, and people ain't afraid to drive on the thing. That's what really amazed me because, heck, I had a hard time walking up the doggone thing.
I don't.
Yeah, that's one of the things I try to do with all my friends. We get there early. I know it's short track or short time, but I try to get them to at least go to the corner and start to go up it.
Yes.
And in about three steps, they're on their hands like a monkey, and then they're slowly back down like a monkey in reverse.
Well, my fear is I get up there okay. I'm out of breath, but coming down, I'm afraid I'm going to go rolling on
the
down.
You get up there and sit on the wall and look down to the bottom of the racetrack.
Folks, we got to go, man. Again, I appreciate it for Kenny, Tom, Keith, Tiny, myself. Man, another week goes by. We'll be back next week. You're listening to
Speed Talk. You too. We got time. We got 5 seconds.
Speed Talk.
There you go. Have a great week, everybody.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.